This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, you are listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for another half an hour here on this Monday Night Fan Show special. As you can probably tell from the opening music, it is now time to talk all things Hatters and Luton Town. Since we last spoke, an indifferent 7 days, I suppose you could say. Great win over Wayne Rooney's Derby, and that's what we call them now, isn't it? Wayne Rooney's Derby. Great win for the Hatters on that occasion, of course, going a goal down to the man himself, Wazza, equalising and then having to suffer from a late equaliser from Chris Martin. But that Jaden Bogle own goal for the Luton Town fans, certainly showing some character, but a defeat to West Brom on Saturday. On the line now, we have Matt Storey, freelance journo and big Luton Town fan. Hello, Matt.
Good evening.
Great to have you on the line, boss. Let's talk about those two games since we last spoke. We'll start off with Derby, because we spoke about that at length last week. Wayne Rooney rocked up to Kenilworth. He scored the opener for the Rams, but he was not on the winning side.
No, absolutely not. Very deflected goal. I know he scored a really good one on Friday night, but there was more than a bit of luck about the one he scored at Luton. But no, just, it was a massive result. It was a game that we had to win, and we found a way to. And it's over the past 12, 18 months, we just, every time we play under the lights at Kenilworth Road, midweek games, there's drama, late drama. They're kind of games to remember. And it was another one of them. It was a real barnstormer of the last half hour. On half time, I sat there and we were saying, "Poor, that was boring, wasn't it? Wasn't a lot going on there." And then, yeah, five goals, sending off, plenty of drama, and a really, really good evening and a really important win, because, as we said last week, failed to beat Derby, failed to get a result against a team that haven't won at home since the opening game of the season, and I mean, we're staring down the barrel anyway in many ways, but it would have been a real kind of blow to the squad, I think. So, important win, and the fashion we did it in was all the more exciting.
Yeah, first win in nine. It just provides a little glimmer of hope, doesn't it, Matt? Because if you take those two fixtures, like we did on the very show last week, and you think, do you know what, if we get 3 points out of Derby and West Brom, you probably would have taken it.
No, absolutely. The one caveat is that it seemed like Wigan have taken 6 points from it. Hmm. Huddersfield got a 96-minute winner last Tuesday night. So it's just the reminder that, look, even if we pick up points, other teams are going to pick up points and we need to do it regularly. But it is the home form that's going to keep us up. And what have we got? I think that started a run of three home games out of four. Certainly a couple more at the end of the month. So February is a big, big month at Kenilworth Road. And then that started off in the right way. You would have taken 3 points, but there's also a kind of, not disappointment, but a frustration, because West Brom weren't great on Saturday. They beat us 2-0, but you could tell they were a team kind of short on confidence, short on a bit of form, because they hadn't won for 6-7 games by that stage. And you almost felt like we could have burgled a point there, and it could have just been something that maybe kick-started our away form and just started a little run, rather than failing to win back-to-back games again. I think we've only won back-to-back games once this year, and if you do that, especially when you've only drawn two or three games as we have, you're never going to get any momentum going.
That's the difficult thing about the West Brom game, isn't it? Because yes, they are flying high to an extent in the Championship. It's their form prior to their poor run. That was their first win in eight. And like you say, most teams that are coming up against West Brom, most teams that come up against Leeds, Wigan will attest to this, of course, will say that actually, do you know what? We can get at them. And West Brom, quite remarkably, were the only team before Saturday who had not kept a clean sheet at home in the Championship. Sadly, that record has gone now because they did win the game 2-0. But is there a feeling of a missed opportunity then? This is almost, it's almost like a psychological thing, like you used to get, or like teams now when they play against Liverpool, they're almost beaten before they go. And so often, they're actually better performers on the day. But because Liverpool have that, I don't know, that instant psychological advantage of being the mighty Liverpool, on this occasion, I'm not saying they were the mighty West Brom, but because of the chasm in terms of league position between the two, it was almost a bit like West Brom had won the game before the game had even started?
I think it's as soon as the first goal goes against us when we're away from home, you just never feel like the result's going to go any other way. They hadn't had chances. There was nothing in the game when Daniels put it through his own net 15 minutes in. But as soon as we go 1-0 down at the minute, and it's been this way since we lost 2-0 at Derby at the start of October, you never feel like we're going to get in the game. Even at Nottingham Forest and Millwall in January when Luton have gone 1-0 up, as soon as there's an equaliser go in, it's just a sense of inevitability. I can't get that word out.
Inevitability
about inevitability about losing. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think Luton went into that game thinking they'd lost. I think Graham Jones has spoken a bit about it in the last few weeks, that we've gone to Forest and West Brom in the top four, and we're not going there beaten already. We're believing we can get something. But as soon as you put a goal through your own net 15 minutes in and then kind of gifted them a goal with 20 minutes to go as well, free header from across, it's just mistakes in our own box that we make every game at the minute. And we're on course to concede the most goals ever in the Championship, and it shows. But I don't think Luton's players went into that game thinking they weren't going to win. And as well as that, Charlton have got a draw against West Brom recently. Stoke went there and won. So these are teams in and around us getting points against them, but we haven't done it all season.
Yeah, 65 goals conceded, as you said there. We've got Tony Thorpe coming up on the show, so we'll speak to him a bit about the attacking prowess, or lack of prowess, I suppose it is, as well. Just 16 goals, I think it is, between Harry Cornick and James Collins. I suppose at the other end, Matt, that's not enough, is it?
No, but we were sat there on Saturday after the game talking about it and kind of saying, when was the last time James Collins missed a really good chance? Because it hasn't been for a month or so. And he's not getting the chances. He's not getting into those positions. The two chances we really had on Saturday, one went to Pelly Ruddock and one went to Callum McManaman. Cornick has been guilty of missing chances. Certainly in December, he had a run of three or four games where he missed big chances, but we're not creating them. And Izzy Brown not being fit is a big factor in that. I, for one, don't understand why Andrew Shinney's not played more, because he's that creative force. He picks out a pass and he can do that. So, no, we're not creating enough going forward. And I think in this run of 11 away games now, I think we've scored six goals. And I think, I might be wrong here, but from my memory, three of them are headers from set pieces. One of them was a penalty. So, essentially, we scored two goals from open play in 11 away games. That's a shocking, shocking stat for a team who were pretty free scoring last year. And I think Graham Jones takes a lot of stick, and a lot of Luton fans don't think he's the right man for the job, and wouldn't be upset to see him sacked necessarily. I think at the back, he's been let down by players making mistakes and probably players not being good enough. Going forward, he's not helped himself, because there's been no sort of style of play. You haven't been able to tell what he wants the side to do. So I think he has to take a fair share of the blame for that. But I think he would also point to Izzy Brown being injured if he got asked about it. So it's difficult, but pardon me. If you lose games and you're not scoring goals, and you're going to concede minimum of two every game, you're not going to take many points, are you?
No, you are certainly not. It's not a complicated game sometimes when you break it down like that, Matt. And it's Cardiff. It's Cardiff up next. Now, since they were mauled by QPR 6-1 a few short weeks ago, they're unbeaten in seven. Now, yes, there are five draws in that record. So, I mean, potentially those statistics are slightly deceptive, I suppose. But Big game, this one now. And listen, we say it every week, don't we, that winning every game now from now until the end of the season is massive. But Cardiff, another team that have been indifferent, really, under Neil Harris.
No, absolutely. As we said last week, Graham Jones pinpoints games that he wants to win. And Cardiff at home is definitely a game that he wants to win. They're mid-table. They're mid-table in a pretty average championship as well. I don't think there's a lot of quality in this league. I don't think there's a lot of great teams. I certainly don't think it's the best.
Do you not?
Quality. No, not at all. I don't think... We've seen now all the top teams against Luton, and aside from Brentford, who beat us 7-0, I just, from even when I've watched games on TV, I really don't think the Championship is that strong a league this year. And Cardiff fall into that category. They beat us in the 96th minute on the second day of the season, or third day, game of the season, sorry. So I don't think that they're an exceptional side. They've got some good players who can hurt you, but we have to go into this game thinking we're going to win. We're 7 points adrift at the minute, and the other team's picking up points. With 16 games to go, you have to win home games against teams in mid-table. And Cardiff fans will look at it and think, oh, we have to beat Luton, they're rubbish. But Kenilworth Road, we have to carry on the momentum from Derby last week and put back-to-back home wins together, which we did, I think, when we beat Charlton and Wigan. But we haven't done often enough. So it's another big game, and I just hope that the West Brom defeat, another defeat on the road, which must be demoralising. I hope that doesn't have an effect on it, because there was such a bounce walking out of Kenilworth Road last Tuesday night.
Indeed. Well, the last time we spoke as well, Matt, was prior to the deadline day, the manic deadline day that was last Friday. Carnage, as you would expect in the Championship, with a few clubs doing all kinds of business right at the last minute. I say it once and I say it again. I mean, just can't believe that it still happens, that people are still... It's like when you do your homework at school and you're panicking at the end because you've got to cram it all into the last minute. But with regards to the Hatters, we spoke about certain incomings. Peter Chiosso, Eunan O'Kane coming in, Cameron Carter-Vickers coming in on loan from Spurs as well. Do you think Graham Jones could have done more, or has he pretty much done what he could have done?
Would we have liked to have signed a couple more players? Yes, I think so, but I'm not convinced that was ever likely. Ever since the first week of January, Graham Jones has been fairly downbeat when discussing the difficulties of getting deals done. And even obviously we brought Peter Chiosso in a couple of weeks ago, but even the Eunan O'Kane signing, if you read the quotes kind of from Jones, from Eunan O'Kane, he's been out injured for 18 months since he broke his leg playing for us. He only made 3 appearances on loan last season and broke his leg against Bristol Rovers. And it's very much he's signing on an 18-month loan deal until the end of next season when his contract at Leeds runs out. So it's a loan deal, but it's more permanent. And I'm not convinced we'll see him for another month or so whilst he gets fitness back. Carter-Vickers, yeah, we need an extra centre-back. Frankly, the 2 centre-backs haven't stepped up, Matty Pearson and Sonny Bradley. That's an area that we should have strengthened in the summer, even if it was just more cover. So hopefully he can provide that. He's a big guy. I didn't quite realise how big he was till he came on. He looked comfortable on the ball for 20 minutes, but you also have to, you can't judge players until you see them play for your own team for a few games. But the reviews from fans of Stoke and fans of other teams where he's been on loan weren't necessarily that positive. But that's what we're dealing with. That's the player we sign. I'd have loved to have seen us sign another fullback, a left back, because our options down that side are nothing. Dan Potts plays every week. Alan Sheehan's obviously his contract was kind of cancelled by mutual consent last week, and I know he's mid-30s and Championship's probably a level above him, but there's next to no cover on that side now, and our fullbacks have been shocking for the majority of the season. So would I have liked to see more bodies in? Yes. I think we could have signed a backup striker, because James Collins is just absolutely shattered, but it's not always possible. And I guess I would rather Luton remained a club who only signed the right players than made a panic buy just for a couple of months as a stopgap, because that's how you start getting bloated squads and unhappy squads, isn't it?
It is indeed, and you're right about this. It's funny, wasn't it, those quotes that he gave O'Kane and said, you know, I'm hopeful I can kind of play a part, but we're still finding that out. And I suppose that's why it was an 18-month contract. But there we go. Matt, listen, thank you very much for joining us. Just before you go, a quick score prediction on the game against Cardiff.
2-1 Luton.
Go on, love that stuff. That was Matt's story there. Luton Town fan and freelance sports journalist. Of course, Luton do play Cardiff this weekend. A team they've already played twice this season, of course. One win and one defeat. The only thing about that win was that it came in the Carabao Cup. We need some wins in the Championship, Hatters. Next up, we've got Luton legendary striker Tony Thorpe on the line.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Luton Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. We've got about 12 minutes to go. We just heard from Matt Story, their big Luton Town fan and freelance journo, on those games with Derby, of course, and then West Brom on Saturday, handing West Brom their first clean sheet. But we'll swiftly move on, won't we? Because it's Cardiff up next. Big game at Kenilworth Road. Some massive games coming up at Kenilworth Road, of course. And I'm delighted to say now we are joined by a Luton Town legend. We've got Tony Thorpe on the line. We're going to be getting into all sorts, the current crop, of course, and we might just touch on a bit of nostalgia too. Hello, Tony.
How are you guys? You okay?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Now, I thought I'd start this chat. We're going to get onto the current crop at the moment, but they say it is the Chinese year of the dog, but surely it has to be the year of the underdog. That was a lovely quote from a certain David Pleat. 1994, this weekend just gone, Newcastle v Luton in the FA Cup fourth round. Up steps Tony Thorpe.
Yes, I couldn't believe it the other day when somebody had posted it was 26 years ago. I found that really difficult to believe. But and then I realised I'm 45. I tried to work it all out and he's absolutely spot on. Yeah, great day, obviously, and a great result.
So it was a first game, wasn't it, at St James's Park? I have to say, I watched your goal back on YouTube. Couldn't remember, actually, the first game. I remember the second game quite well, John Hartson and Scott Oakes that scored the goals, wasn't it? And at the time, this was a Newcastle side full of vigour. They'd just come up from the Championship into the Premier League. Everybody was buzzing off them. They had a great side. Pete Beardsley, Andrew Cole, of course, scoring the goals up top. I think that season they both got 49 combined or something like that. It was a record when it was 42 teams in the Premier League. But little old Luton at the time, struggling in what was then the First Division, as it used to be called, went to St James's Park. It was your first full game, your first start for the club, and you rifled one in.
Yes, I remember it like it was yesterday. I shared a room with John, which was my kind of roomie at the time, John Hartson. He was on the bench in the first leg, obviously, and then, as you're well aware, you just said that he scored the goal with Scott Oakes in the 2-0 replay, which we beat him. Just a bit of a blur of a day, but just fond memories of the whole kind of 750 fans in the away end in a small little bit at St James's Park, and you could have heard a pin drop when I kind of found myself somewhat in the middle of the pitch and just kind of took a couple of touches and smashed it in from what, 25 yards or so. So yeah, great feeling for me for my debut.
What you've just said there in terms of it being a blur, that's something that when ex-pros or current pros speak to fans and journalists and whatnot, you often think, crikey, how do they not remember exactly what happened? Because if we were playing, I imagine if I was playing, you'd like to think you remember every single thing. And then people say, ex-pros often say to me, well, do you remember every time you were on the radio? Do you remember every person that you've interviewed? And you don't, because it's just another day at the office. For you, it was your debut. Do you have, without being too fanboyish, do you have vivid memories of striking the ball, of being on the pitch at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of interviews and a few podcasts over the years of people asking me the same question, and I do remember not playing great. It was my debut, David Pleat. I ended up being a centre forward, and I think quite a decent career at the lower level of football, scoring a lot of goals. But on this particular occasion, Pleaty kind of felt that I was better on the left. And I kind of drifted into the middle. And the reason I drifted into the middle was because I wasn't having a great game. Big Steve Watson, I think it was at the time. Newcastle were top of the Prem, I think. Flying, like you said, with Andy Cole and Peter Beardsley. Had such a strong, strong team. Kevin Keegan, as you're well aware. So, you know, we were the underdogs on the day. But David Pleat, as David Pleat always fancied us against anybody with the kind of expansive style of play or football that we played. And when he gave me that opportunity, like I said, the reason I say it was a blur is because the day went so quick
And now, as you've just said, 26 years ago has also gone very, very quick. But I wasn't playing great and managed to drift into the middle and pick it up and, like you say, hit one out of nowhere. So just such a great day. But you're right, it's like a blur to me because it's that long ago now.
I think the beauty of the FA Cup still back then, I mean, we're talking the mid-90s, was that the Newcastle team you came up against was the Newcastle team that were playing week in, week out in the Premier League. Whereas now we get the FA Cup third round, fourth round, fifth round, pretty much all the way up to the quarterfinals. Sometimes even the semis, depending.